Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Back by popular demand, it's Rabbi Jim Appel. I had a chance to chat with him in his office at Shema Yisrael Congregation here in Rochester, New York, recently, and we had a great discussion. You're just going to love it. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. So in a little while, you're going to hear all about Rabbi Jim Appel's faith and what's been happening with our new congregational building. It's always great to find out how a nice Jewish boy finds his Messiah. And speaking of Jewish boys who grow up to be Jewish men who love the Lord, here's A Jew Born Anew by Marty Goetz.
I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see, complete with a chopped liver statue of me. But now they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your fathers of old, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you. Yahshua from a Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a schmo like I was, just so I could win the prize and be with my Messiah in the sky. They say on Bar Mitzvah day I became a man. I tried to live that way, done the best that I can, but I've been worried since way back when, 'cause I've never done anything great since then. And though I could live till 110 and never have need of a fountain pen, I might never succeed in the sight of men, and they won't let me get Bar Mitzvah again. But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you, Yeshua, from this Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a real Shlomiel, one who couldn't tell you were the long-awaited Holy One of Israel. And all of you who don't know Yeshua, let me introduce him to ya. He's the blessed Messiah, he's the Lion of Judah, and he wants to do to ya what he did to to live in a schlep like I was. Yep, it's true, on Christmas morn, the truest Jew that ever was, was born. So I sing a
Again, that was Marty Goetz, a Jew born anew. And I've been recording these shows almost a week ahead of time, and so last week's program was July 4th weekend, and I didn't say anything about it. So let me just say this now, that July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and freedom. But I have to say, for my own personal life, July 1976 marked the beginning of freedom from bondage, because it was then that I recognized that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And that's when I became a Jew born anew. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But stay with me, because soon we're going to hear about Rabbi Jim Appel and how he too became a Jew born anew. But let us now hear all about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at uccroc.com. All right, here's Paul Wilbur from the CD Jerusalem Arise. I picked this song especially because I know Rabbi Jim really likes it. It's called Let the Weight of Your Glory.
Oh, Shalom. This is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Next week, you're going to hear an interview with Yair Levy from Israel, and he recently recorded a song with Joshua Aaron. Beautiful song. It's called Home.
לאן אפנה רחוב וחנון, לאן אפנה אל ארצי, אני את ליבי, אהובה שלי. רק עכשיו, בלי תוכניות ודמיונות, בלי עבר וצלקות, אליה, אליה, אליה. Find rest for my soul. Where shall I go? Searching for my land, the longing of my heart, my love ever grows. Here and now, running forward to the past, to you, with everything I have, to you, to you, to you.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Again, that was Home with Yair Levy and Joshua Aaron. And as I mentioned, next week's program will feature a pre-recorded interview with Yair Levy and some more of his music as well. All right, in just a few minutes, you'll hear my interview with Rabbi Jim Appel, recorded right from his office at Congregation Shemai Israel here in Rochester. And right now, let's have some music with McKedem.
Thank you.
Again, that was the group Mekedem, Hallelujah. That's probably my favorite song from that group, and I love all of their music. And I want to tell you the English part of that because I know you're all wondering. So it comes from Psalm 150. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, if you visit Shemaiah Israel when you're in Rochester or any other Messianic congregation around the world, you will see all kinds of rejoicing, dancing and singing, and it's just wonderful. And why do we have such joy in the Lord? Because he has done great things for us. He has blessed us. And so we rejoice and we just praise him. All right. Well, I'm excited to share this interview with you. I think you're going to enjoy it. Here is my interview with Rabbi Jim. Rabbi Jim Appel, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
It's great to be here.
Man, it's been a while now since you've been on.
Yes. It's been quite a while.
Right? And I'm going to have to tell our listeners, if you want to hear the whole story of Rabbi Jim's testimony, I will tell you that it involved a bee sting. And I don't know if you have a way of...
Two bee stings.
So I don't know if you want to quickly bring us up to speed about how you came to know the Lord, and then we'll move on, just for people that haven't heard that miraculous story.
Well, it's always hard to know where to start, because as you and I were just chatting about my background, they have to start there, which is pretty different. Although I've learned is not that uncommon. My parents were both Jewish, and my grandparents on one side were Orthodox, and my grandparents on the other side were communists. And so my parents were communists, and my father was a full-time employee of the Communist Party of America for most of his adult working life. And so I was raised to believe that there was no God, that people who worshiped God were deceived, and that the powers that be were using religion to control people and have power over them. So I was raised with that and swallowed that hook, line, and sinker all through my childhood and teenage years. And then it wasn't until after I was in college, and it was 1967, when the whole hippie thing hit and I began experimenting with drugs and got involved in yoga, that I realized that there was a spiritual side to life, because that was what communism taught, that there was nothing but what's called materialism. Materialism in their terms doesn't mean that you're greedy and you like a lot of, you know, material things. It means that there's only the material universe. There's no spiritual side to the universe.
So you were seeking.
Well, I wasn't seeking until, like I said, when I got out from my parents' house.
That's what I mean.
And I was in college and began meeting people who had a spiritual side to their lives. And I didn't understand that. And then I began reading some books about, you know, people like that, and began seeking. But when I did seek, as many Jewish people, I found actually many Messianic rabbis, when they began to seek spiritually, they would not seek within Judaism, because they had been raised in Judaism and they found it to be just ritual and tradition. And they would not seek in Christianity because of all the persecution of our people by those who claim to be Christians. So as I did, they turn eastward and look into Eastern religions, which I did, and became very involved in yoga, and studied yoga for years, and practiced yoga for years, and had some spiritual experiences, which convinced me that there was a spirit world, that there was something out there. But I also had some negative experiences that made me feel like I didn't want to go there anymore. So that was when I was about, I'd say about 25, 26. And so I kind of backed away from it all for several years. And then my wife, who is not Jewish, got involved with a neighborhood Bible study group, and she started to be really interested in the Bible. So I decided to read it because just I wanted to see what she was so excited about and be able to talk to her about it. And so I asked her what to read, and she told me to read John. And I read John and was blown away. I didn't know the story of Yeshua. I had no idea how it would end. I remember being on the edge of my chair, like, what's going to happen to him? And, I mean, it's hard for many church people to comprehend that anyone could be that ignorant, but I was. And so around 1977, right around the end of the summer, I think it was Labor Day weekend, I had read John, and then I asked Diane what to read next, and she said, try Matthew. So I read Matthew and got to the Sermon on the Mount, where Yeshua basically takes the Torah, or the Ten Commandments, and puts them into more of an internal thing than an external thing. Like he says, you know, it's written, you shall not murder, but I say you shouldn't hate. And I that was at the point at which I learned that I actually was a sinner, because up to that point in time, I thought I was doing pretty well with, you know, being a good person, because I was so ignorant that I didn't know the laws of God.
Being good wasn't enough?
Being good and nice to people wasn't enough. No, because if you go through the Ten Commandments, I had probably broken all of them. And that was at the point where I realized that, you know, what Yeshua had done had some relevance to me, that he had sacrificed his life, which I had read about in the book of John. But, so I went to Diane, and I asked her, what do I do next? And she said, you have to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And I got it what Savior meant, that he sacrificed his life to pay for my sin. I got that. And I wanted that. But I was very hesitant about the Lord thing, because I was able to understand that that meant that I had to obey him, and I had to make him the boss,
basically. Submit.
Submit. And so this brings us to the incident with the bees, where I was a couple days sitting on the fence and not making a decision. And I was out driving on a beautiful Saturday morning, I think it was, with my son in the car, my five-year-old, and the window was rolled down, and I was driving along, and felt something hit me in the arm, and so I pulled over, and when I looked down, it was a bee had come in the window and stung me in the arm. The bee was dead from the impact, I guess, so that wasn't a problem, but I had a quandary at that point, because I had a history of violent reactions to bee stings. So violent that I would swell up, I'd have hives, I wouldn't be able to breathe. And here I was driving my five-year-old around. So I had a couple of choices. I could drive home and hope that the reaction didn't hit before I hit home, so Diane could take me to the hospital if I needed to. I could go directly to the hospital, and that was another possibility. And then this weird thought came to my mind, because I had been reading the Bible. It says, why don't you pray? So I prayed, and I think it was the first time I really prayed, and I prayed a very Abrahamic prayer. I made a bargain with God, and I said, God, if you keep me from having a reaction, I'll make you Lord and Savior, and what Diane said to do. So I prayed the prayer, put the car in gear, and drove off, and no reaction.
Ooh!
And you would think I would have been smart enough to realize that I should have kept my promise.
You didn't keep your end of the bargain?
No, I didn't keep my promise. I forgot about it. And the next day, I was carrying something out of the basement of the house, and I took one step into the backyard from the basement steps, and got stung by another bee. And I went off to be alone for a while, and I was thinking about, I hadn't been stung by bees in like 5-10 years, you know, now 2 days. And it just finally got through to my mind that this was the Lord, and that it was getting dangerous to not submit to him.
You think he was trying to get your attention?
He was trying to get my attention, yes. And so I got down on my knees and repented and asked him to be my Savior, and forgive me for all I had done against his will, and committed myself to him being my Lord and obeying him. And this tremendous, incredible peace came upon me that was way more powerful or higher than any drug I had ever taken, and I took a lot of them. It was just this incredible peace that I knew that God loved me. I knew that he had a plan for my life. I knew that he was going to be with me for the rest of my life, and this joy that I was now one of his children was just overwhelming.
And the bee sting?
Well, that was interesting because it was ironic, actually. Well, first of all, I looked at my body and I was swelling up in hives. So I knew that I was having a reaction and God didn't keep me from it this time. But that was actually a little more proof that it wasn't like I just got overreactions the first time. You know, he had actually kept me from a reaction. So I went and got Diane and said, you got to take me to the hospital. And she took me, and on the way I told her what I had just done. And that was kind of dangerous because she almost drove off the road when I told her, because she was so thrilled about it. But when I got to the hospital, what was really ironic was that they're checking me into the emergency room, and you know, they need to get all your information. Evidently, they need information about in case you need, you know, a pastoral care of some kind. So, you know, they said, well, what religion are you? And at this point, I had no idea what Messianic Judaism was, so I just said, well, I'm a Christian. And the technician or the receptionist whatever said, oh, okay, Catholic or Protestant?
Whoopsie.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
So that was the beginning of walking with the Lord, and it's been 44 years now. Mm. So it's hard to imagine that that much time has passed.
But, you know, your story brings out a couple of important things. Number one, the importance of prayer, because people had been praying for you, your wife had been praying for you. So hearing this is an encouragement to people that, you know, if you've been praying for someone, no yes. matter how long it is, keep praying, because prayer works. And I just think it's so interesting that God uses anything to get our attention.
Yeah.
He reaches some people in dreams and they have visions, and other people find angels at the end of their driveway to speak to them. And in your case, twice.
Angels would have been nice.
I know.
Much nicer than
wow.
me. And just to give a little more detail on the prayer thing, that Bible study that my wife started to go to met for like 6 months before, from the time she started till the time this happened with me. And I know every week they prayed for me. And when I went to my wife and said, you know, I think I'll read the Bible because you're so interested in it, that was totally out of character. I mean, it was like I had a spiritual lobotomy, because it was like something cut that part out of my brain that was resistant.
It was very uncharacteristic.
It was so uncharacteristic. Yeah, it was
yeah.
completely uncharacteristic. And I know it was because they were praying for me, but it goes back even after I came to believe, the Lord showed me that there had been people in my life over the course of years, back to when I was in college, back when I was working on a job in California, who witnessed to me, and I rejected them, but they prayed for me. And that's very true.
Yeah. Well, you've come a long way since the little Jewish boy growing up in the secular communist home, and you know, now you're a Messianic rabbi, and God has used you in lots of ways. You were a youth leader at Congregation Shema Yisrael for a while,
yeah.
and you were an engineer at Xerox, weren't you?
25 years.
And then what happened?
Well, I left to take on the rabbi role here. Right, in 1996, it was amazing because most people, you know, if they want to start a Messianic congregation, they got to start pioneering it, meaning they have to work a job and they have to start from scratch and have this little small group and hope it grows. And because of what God was doing through the previous leaders here, Jonathan Burness and David Levine, there was a need for somebody to step in here. So I stepped into a fully blown congregation with a salary, with an organization structure, with a building. You know, it was so easy compared to people who start out in their living room with four people.
And interestingly, because of your engineering skills, I think it's absolutely helped you in leading this congregation. Because you are so efficient and highly organized, you have done a very good job.
I'm glad you think it's that way. I think of myself as unorganized.
Well, you know.
So you're, I put on a good front, it sounds like.
Yes, you do. Just keep smiling, you know. You've given some fantastic sermons. And speaking of sermons, a lot of your sermons ended up in how many books now?
I think it's six.
Tell us about your books and where we can get them.
Well, I have to give credit to Cheryl Zare, who is the owner and director of Olive Press Publisher. She was part of the congregation for several years, and she has some experience in the printing business. And after she and her husband had to move away, she decided she would start a publishing company because she had this experience in publishing. So she loved my messages, and just like got me to send her recordings of all the messages, and she basically wrote the books from the recordings.
Ah.
She transposed the recordings.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then and the hard part, of the books, each book is about one of the Jewish holidays, of the Moedim, as we call them. So the meat of the books is each holiday for like 20 years, I would do a message on it, and it would be different. It would be something new. It would be something that the Lord gave me that was new. So the hard part was taking all those messages and putting them into a book where it wouldn't be repetitive, where it wouldn't, because every time I'd give a message, there'd be new people there, so I'd have to go back over some stuff. And you'd have to, you know, you would have to take out that part of the message.
Or say, as I said before.
Right, so Cheryl did all of that. And then, you know, she would send me the book, and I'd proofread it and get it back. So we started with a book on Rosh Hashanah, we did Yom Kippur, we did Passover, we did First Fruits, those four. And she's working on Shavuot right now. And then in another thing that she did was, as you know, we do a class here, a membership class called the Messianic Judaism class. And Cheryl took that class, and she loved it. And when she took the class, I was handing out notes all the time. Every time, every week, people would get another couple of pages of the outline for that week. And they'd have to take it home and put it in a loose leaf book or something like that. And Cheryl said, like, let's make a book out of it. Let's make a workbook. Let's make a teacher's guide. So she did that too from my notes. I mean,
wonderful.
So I have to say it was the easiest way of, there's seven books already out there. The teacher guide, the student book, and then the five holiday books, and another one coming. And it's the easiest way to write books.
I'll
it's all
that
credit
mind
to Cheryl.
So the best way to get your books is on Amazon?
They can be gotten on Amazon, but because of Cheryl's work, I recommend people go to Olive Press Publisher, one word.
Okay.
.com, and they're all there. We also sell them in the Fig Tree Bookstore. She can get them through the Fig Tree Bookstore also.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, now I want to talk to you a little bit about miracles.
Miracles.
We believe God is still healing, and we believe God is still doing miracles. And here at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we've experienced some miracles with this building. And I would love for you to share the story of how we ended up here where we are.
Okay. It is an amazing story, and I just wish we weren't doing this on the radio so we could actually look at the building. But we are sitting in a building that we just moved into in December of this past year, and the office that we're sitting in actually wasn't completed until February when we put some partitions up and doors and everything. So it's very recent. But this goes back to about 2012 when we still have a couple family in our congregation that own a delicatessen, and it's a European delicatessen. And so what happens there is a lot of the immigrants from Europe come to this delicatessen to get food from the old country, and a lot of them, most of them, are Jewish. Coming out of the former Soviet Union. So this couple, they actually, both of their parents came from the former Soviet Union, and actually they were born in the former Soviet Union. they would try to witness to their customers. And they would hand them tracts, and they would give them literature, and they'd try to talk to them. And what they found was that whenever they talked to any of their customers, the conversation would get to a certain point, and the customer would always ask, what synagogue do you go to? And that's because in Judaism, spirituality is always associated with a synagogue. It's really different from Christianity, where you can be a spiritual person and just be like kind of on your own. In Judaism, it's always associated with a synagogue. So these folks would say, well, we go to Messianic Congregation Shema Israel. And they would get a quizzical look, and they'd say, we never heard of that. What is that? Never heard of it. Never heard of it. So one of the ladies, the owners of this deli, she's actually has a degree in marketing, and that's what her, you know, her background is. And she said, so we are violating the first law of getting people to know who you are, which is getting your name out there. These are the people who are demographic, and they don't even know we exist. It's not so much that they don't know what we do or they don't like us or what, they don't know we exist. So we got to get our name out there. So we began praying about, well, how we get our name out there. You know, people were suggesting billboards and radio ads and TV ads, and we had been doing Google ads, and they weren't really very effective. Facebook ads, all these kind of things really weren't very effective. So we were just in that place of praying. And in 2014, in the spring, I got a call from a local pastor whom I didn't know, and he asked me to come over because he wanted to talk to me. And so I went over, and I expected that he was going to ask me to do a teaching on a Jewish holiday, because that's what pastors usually ask me to do. And he sat me down, and he said, we're a congregation, a Free Methodist congregation. We have got to the point where we're running three services, and we need a bigger facility, and we've identified a facility that we want to move into. But we also realize that the neighborhood that we're in is a Jewish neighborhood, and later found out that this pastor himself is actually Jewish. And we prayed about who we should get this, who should have this building, and we felt like you should have it because you have a specific ministry to the Jewish people. And we've noticed that here in the town we're in, Brighton, we've now got a mosque, and we've got a Hindu temple, we've got a Mormon tabernacle, and we didn't want to see our building, which has been used to spread the gospel, go to some other purpose for it. So would you be interested in buying this building? And he wasn't giving it to us. He said, would you be interested in buying this building?
Did your jaw drop then or later?
Well, my jaw absolutely dropped because I live in this neighborhood, and the building that we were in, the building he was offering, is right down the street from the Jewish Community Center. So my immediate thought is, like, you realize what you're offering here is that everybody going to the Jewish Community Center and coming back, they're going to pass by this building twice every time they go and come back. And if we just put up a sign, this is the answer to our prayer about recognition in the Jewish, you know, community. So that was the beginning of it. And then the Lord, that was a miracle right there, that, you know, that they were so, this particular pastor actually, he says he heard from the Lord. And in addition to the miraculousness of that, was that he explained to me that the timing of it was that the church in here had just finished a major renovation, $2 million worth of renovation. And they had raised the money to do that. They'd done the renovation, and then they got to tell their congregation, well, the Lord's telling us we need to move.
Oh, God.
So the place they wanted to move to, it turns out, was the YMCA in the next town. And the YMCA was not vacant. They needed to buy property, raise money, and build a new building. So this was all had to happen for us to buy this place. So we said yes. I brought it to our elders, and we didn't know how we would come up with they were originally thinking it would be $1.4 million. We had no idea how we would come up with that, but we said, you know, if this is God, he's gonna do it. So we signed some agreements saying that we were gonna do all we could to do it, but we realized it was gonna be a 5 to 6 year project. before the Y built their place, and then they renovated the Y building, and then they moved, and then we moved in. So we had 5 to 6 years to raise the money. So we, you know, we started to do what we could to raise the money. And the first thing was we tried to sort of fix up the building we owned so that we could sell it for a decent price. So as we went along in this, the miracles just started happening. The first one, I guess, would be the church that owned the building had an assessment done. And the assessment came back not at 1.4, but at $2 million. And they also, I knew from having talked with them, they had an issue with selling it at $1.4 million and telling their congregation they were, because they actually spent more than that on the renovation. So if I were part of their congregation, I was like, you just raised $1.5 million to do this renovation, now you're going to sell it for less? So they had to sell it for something that looked like they were actually making a profit on it. So when they came back to us and said $2 million, we were just like, that's out of our league. There's no way we can do that. So I remember we called a congregational meeting, and we said, this has happened. They did an assessment. They're up at $2 million now. We don't think we can make it. We just need to pray. So we prayed. You probably were at that meeting, if you don't remember it. So we finished the meeting. I went home, and the phone rang. And I answered the phone because it was Pastor Doug, as I'll call him, who was from this church. And he says to me, you wouldn't believe what had happened just an hour ago. And I was like, an hour ago? I was telling the people that we couldn't afford the building because they'd raised the price on it. And he said to me, well, an hour ago, I got a call from an anonymous person, who I can't say the name of, but they said that they were pledging $500,000 for you to buy our building. You won't get the money, but when it's time to close, they will pay $500,000 for you to buy the building. And it's like, amazing. I still don't know who that person was, but if you hear this, thank you. We have no idea who that was. It wasn't part of our congregation. I suspect it was somebody from their congregation who knew the thing about that they couldn't say that we're selling it for 1.4. They had to sell it for 2 million. I don't know. So that was the first one. The second one was the local non-Messianic Jewish community heard that the building was up for sale, and a yeshiva made an offer, cash, for $2.2 million to the church here because they wanted to buy the building and move in here. And I believe they really made that offer because they didn't want us to get it, because they knew that we were going to get it. And the board of this church, Edward Street Methodist Church, turned them down. And there was a cash offer. And we were still in a place where we didn't know whether we could raise the money or get a mortgage or anything.
And so it was more money, right?
There were $200,000 more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they turned it down.
And they were hurting for funds. They were hurting for funds to buy the place, the Y, and then to renovate it. Amazing. The third miracle was that Pastor Doug told me that they were hiring a fundraising consultant, and he was a very, very prestigious or experienced guy. Worked with the Billy Graham Crusade and a couple other big time ministries, and he was located out in Colorado. And they were flying him in to train them as to how to raise the money so that they could buy the building they were buying. And he said, "Well, would you like to meet him?" And I think he was thinking, well, maybe you want to hire him too. So I went and met with Tim Avery, was the gentleman's name. And we just explained to him the whole situation with all the dominoes falling, and them buying a building that had to renovate, and then us buying the building, and that we were a Messianic congregation. This was a Jewish neighborhood, and it's a perfect location. And he says, well, I have some really good friends who are in the Messianic movement in Colorado, so I'm very familiar with it. And I'll tell you what. If you bring your leadership here, when I come to train the Edgewood folks, I'll train your folks too. How much will that cost? Oh, nothing. They're paying for it. So we got this top line training from this guy, which enabled us to raise more money than I ever thought we could raise from the congregation, basically, and then from some other folks. Although actually, he didn't even help with our fundraising banquet. Tim was like, that I never do stuff like that. That's not my bag. So that was on our own. But he was just tremendous. So that was, I don't know how many you've got, like three miracles now, these financial miracles. Another one was, we brought this to the congregation. Our bylaws say that we have to take a vote on the purchase of property or the sale of property. And when we signed the purchase agreement, we had a unanimous agreement from the congregation, which was mind-boggling. The next miracle was that we had this old, renovated, what do we call it? It's where nuns live.
I don't know, it was a convent?
A convent.
Yeah.
It was a convent that we had bought in 1988.
Emphasis on old.
And put tons of renovation into, but it was still, it had a lot of, we had tried to sell it a couple of times, but it was really difficult to sell because the sanctuary was so small, it fed about 150 people, that any group that fit in the sanctuary didn't have enough money to buy the building. And anybody that had enough money to buy the building wouldn't fit in the sanctuary. So every time we had to sell it, we'd have a lot of people come look, and they were like a little group of like, you know, 30 people. They couldn't afford it. And then we had people come that were a group of 200 people, and they couldn't fit in it. So it was just, wouldn't sell. So we put it on the market, and within, actually through connections, through our youth leader, knew somebody at another congregation, at a church, mentioned to them that our building was for sale, and they showed up and looked at it for an attorney's office and a recording studio and a video studio, and they loved the building, and they bought it for a really good price.
And that's amazing also.
It was just amazing that what we had tried to sell wouldn't sell, and then it sold. So, trying to remember, were there more miracles? Do you remember?
I don't know. But the bottom line is, we are in this gorgeous building.
Oh, the mortgage.
The mortgage.
So after we raised the money and we sold the building and somebody donated $500,000, people in the congregation started giving. And I just was amazed at people who I had no idea that they were going to be so generous. A person in the congregation who was anonymous put a $100,000 check into my hand. $100,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Another person who will remain anonymous got an inheritance and pledged and gave $50,000. And a friend of mine who had been praying with me through all of this gave $30,000. And then we invited Jonathan Burness, our founding rabbi, to come and be a speaker at a fundraising banquet. His organization gave $25,000. So that was amazing. But the mortgage deal was amazing too. I consulted with a couple of people through a realtor that were supposed to be good at, you know, raising money for things like this, and both of them gave us some offers. They were okay. And then somebody said, you should just check with local banks. So I went to three local banks. One of us turned us down. One of them was the bank that we actually do business with, and another was another small bank in the area. And we filled out all the forms and did all the interviews, and both of them offered to give us over $600,000 of a mortgage. But what was amazing was we had the two banks competing for our business. So I kept going back and forth from one bank and saying, well, these guys are offering us 3.8%. Now, can we offer something lower? And it went back like three or four times before, you know, it was bargaining where they were bidding for our business. So we got a really good rate. And then what was also really precious was that one of the banks that we actually went with, they looked at our stuff and we were asking for, you know, just enough money to get in. And they looked and they said, you know what, when you're going to get in, you're going to need to do some stuff. So we want you to take more than what you're asking for.
Okay.
That was like another shock. I've never had a bank offer.
Here, we'll give you more money.
We'll give you more money than you're asking for.
Oh, the abundance of the Lord.
Yeah. So Amen. That was Amen. The miracles. And you know, I think I summarized what that did for us a few weeks ago when I was doing a message, and I said, you know, if God did all of those miracles in getting us here, he's not going to abandon us at this point. He went to all that trouble, moved all those people to get us here. Because the question is, can we afford this mortgage? And, you know, are we going to be able to actually reach the Jewish community around us? And what I got, I believe, was from the Holy Spirit was that, look at what I've already done. Why would I have done all that if I wasn't going to provide for you to be able to meet all your expenses here and to begin to reach the community around you, which is why you're here?
Amen, amen. So, well, we are almost out of time together, so I would like to end by you inviting people to our service. Tell them our address and when we meet and what time.
Well, we're at 250 Edgewood Avenue, Rochester, New York, 14618. It's actually in the town of Brighton. And we're about 3 or 4 blocks from Monroe Avenue, around where it meets the 590 Expressway. And you can find us on the internet at Shema Israel. That's shemayisrael.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Shema Israel, and find out all kinds of stuff about us and watch lots of our videos or listen to our podcasts of our services and our sermons. And our services are on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and everyone is welcome. We have now gone to we're just now getting over the whole COVID thing, so there's no protocol now. It's up to you. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, you don't have to wear a mask. So we're delighted to have that opening up again, and Jewish or non-Jewish, you're welcome to come. And there are many, the congregation consists of both Jewish and non-Jewish people. The non-Jewish people are mostly with us to learn about the Jewish roots of their Christian faith. The Jewish people are with us because this is the one place where they can continue to live as Jews, practice their Jewish culture, and be amongst like-minded believers in Yeshua.
And Yeshua made me kosher, so this is where I belong.
And you can hear Ethel lead worship. So.
I do my best. I try. So thank you for being back with me on Bagels and Blessings.
You
I know
are
that
welcome.
You'll be on again. It's always wonderful to hear your story, and this is really exciting to hear about all of these miracles again. And for everybody listening, God is still in the business of doing miracles. Amen?
Amen. And if you want to see the building, if you go to our Facebook page or our website, there's pictures on there of this building.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, and shalom for now.
Shalom, shalom.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayismorecha Yager Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panavalecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.